Hey everybody, it's Jim McDonald. This is the lost Jim Stepani episode of the PowerCast. We recorded this a couple of months ago with Jim on Skype, and we had just moved into the new place, and the setup was really not optimal. There was some buzzing and popping and other business that we could not get around. I have tried to clean it up as much as possible. The content is so good that I'm hoping that everyone can just overlook some flaws that remain. Anyway, this is a bonus episode. There'll be another new episode tomorrow. Please enjoy this, and let's play the music.
Check, check, check. Live.
Check. Wiggle, whack.
Sponsored by the Power Magazine.
Bose.
How much?
Nose.
Oh, Jackson.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bose nose.
Oh, my God.
Why does a motherfucker up in
alongside Silent Mike and Jim McDee, here's your host, Mark Bell.
Mark Bell.
Holla if you hear me.
Mark Bell, are you here?
I'm here. I'm in the hizzy.
So, once upon a time...
I'm in the schnizzle.
Once upon a time, I think it might have been on a very popular YouTube channel.
Is that your phone?
I know, my phone goes nuts whenever I show up in here. You once said I had the world's smallest boner.
That's Jim's phone. That's
the world's smallest boner, I think, is what you told me.
I did. I apologize. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Well, I did some research.
On boners?
Yeah, Guinness Book of World Records, and right next to Furious Pete on the Guinness World of Records. He's in there all over the place. You see that book?
He's in there for eating dick.
I was
spotted dick, cans of spotted dick.
I was hanging out with your daughter, Quinn, just hanging out in your living room.
Our boy Furious Pete, by the way, sponsored by bodybuilding.com.
He was all over the Guinness Guinness Book of World Records.
He kind of almost stressed into that a little
bit. Yeah. Furious makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. He's scary. He can eat a lot of food. He can eat a lot of meat.
He eats a lot of anything. What did he say? Yeah. 60 quest bars?
Yep, 60 quest bars. I don't know how he didn't blow out his colon.
I think he probably did. That's a lot of
super,
a lot of fiber.
I think he
super
ate
colon blow.
Yeah, I think he's really good at eating 150 pounds of female.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That's what I heard.
She's a cutie.
Little girlfriend, maybe fiance now. Congratulations, Furious. I think it's his fiance. Yeah, she's jacked. She's a CrossFitter.
Damn.
She's
jacked. Guy's deadlifting big weights and fucking climbing ropes, eating food, and getting married and shit.
Eating sausage.
Oh, my God.
We were trying to get him to come hang out with us.
Balls.
Yeah.
That too.
Eating all kinds of cuttlefish.
Yeah, we're telling him, like, Furious, come hang out. Deadlift podcast. He's like, I might be in South Africa. I might be in France.
Yeah. Oh, I might be abroad.
Yeah.
Wait.
What do they say? Yeah.
Check your pants.
Yeah.
Holiday. I might be on holiday.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Where the hell is it?
How Canadian is that?
Traveling.
Yeah. Everyone says holiday, right? Except us.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, traveling. Yeah, yeah. Traveling. Yeah, by the way, is gay. Sorry. Traveling is gay.
I'm traveling most of December. Yeah.
Like a shitty basketball player, or like a world jet setter.
Just traveling, yeah, in general.
All of it.
Yes.
How do I look in your shades?
All the above. You were talking about research.
Yeah, so
boner research.
I was just thinking that you said I had the world's smallest boner. So I think if we have to analyze that.
Analyze.
Hypothetically speaking.
I saw it on a leg press.
When did we leg press together?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were creeping.
Nah. Yep.
So hypothetically, if my schlong was...
Schlort.
Was 7 inches, per se.
Schlort.
Or 5.5, whatever the American average is.
Yeah, so you got to take the long out of schlong.
Just a schlort. I got the schlortest wiener.
I have no idea how to spell it. I've never seen it in writing. But
you've never seen it, huh?
Yeah, I've never seen it. The leg press.
Yeah, so I have...
That's my story.
Hypothetically speaking, I have a 7-inch wiener. And you move it, and it bones up to 7.1. That would be the smallest boner ever.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's like not a measurement of the entire thing.
Well, you're measuring the boner, the smallest boner, not the smallest schlong.
We're measuring like the growth.
This is like anatomy.
This is a semantic situation.
Yeah.
You're talking about the delta.
You're a show or not a grower?
I'm a nothing. I'm just saying hypothetically.
I'm a nothing. My dick's a nothing, basically. It's an innie.
I'm all a nothing.
Son of a bitch.
You talked more shit, too. I watched the...
7-inch wiener. I think
I just said hypothetically.
I know, but I think everyone goes with 7-inch because it's a safe spot.
Yeah, they're not like, oh, it's 10. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 10 you'd whip out and stick in somebody's fucking butt.
Yeah, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but it's true.
You'd be asked to prove 10.
Yeah, yeah. You'd hit somebody upside the head with 10. You'd be like, check this shit out, motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
That's the only reason why I wear pants is I got a small dick.
I got tights on now.
I would never wear pants if I had a huge cock.
Yeah, no one would. That's what the guys that wear.
I wouldn't own pants.
But what about the fitness crave now that everybody
wears tights? I would own some fucking rugby shorts. And people would be like, what is that sticking on the bottom of his fucking
Kelly
shorts?
Kelly Starrett.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's proud of what he's got.
Yeah, he likes showing off those quads.
Yeah. And his schlort.
I would never wear a shirt if I looked like today's guest.
Hey, now.
Yeah, Jim what's Stepani. That guy doing?
Jim Stepani's pretty jacked.
His email says James. I was so confused. I was like, we have the wrong guest on.
He's a doctor.
Yeah, we have the wrong guest on.
He's a doctor. He's got to act all proper. He's
yeah, PhD.
He's got to be James for a little while.
Let's call him Dr. Pex.
We were, when we were at bodybuilding.com, we were talking to our boy Rep It Rich, at Rep It Rich on the Instagrams. That's the only way we know people around here is through the interwebs. God forbid we ever actually.
Yeah, we don't know their real name either.
God forbid we ever actually know people on a personal level.
That'd be a waste of time.
Yeah. But Rep It Rich said something great. We were talking about supplements, and he just said, you know, people need something to believe in.
Yeah, we were talking about, like, why do people, people go to bodybuilding.com to buy supplements?
It's so simple. You do need something to believe in, and that's what we're going to talk to Jim Stepani about today. We're going to talk to him about a lot about supplements, since he's kind of the supplement guru, supplement doctor. And we can kind of get to the bottom of some of this, because as long as I've been doing this stuff for, I'm pretty confused by it. I love supplements. I've been taking a lot of supplements for many, many years. I've tried out all different kinds of things. And there's some supplements that I've kept in my repertoire for, you know, long periods of time. Protein powder has been on the menu for a long time. Substituting some sorts of fat. You know, olive oil isn't necessarily like a supplement, but olive oil, coconut oil, fish oil, those kinds of things. Supplementing, I guess, my diet. With some types of fats, and then also just, you know, the protein powder. Creatine over the years, branch chains have become, you know, insanely popular. I've been doing that for about 10 years or so, and just a couple other things here and there. Vitamin D3 is something I'll pick up here and there. And just, you know, vitamins in general. You catch a cold or something like that, and all of a sudden your brain tells you, hey, fuck, I think I need vitamins. I don't know why that happens. I guess we're just...
You're sitting awfully close to me today.
We're just in and... I don't know
if you guys are watching on video or podcast, but...
Our guest is right here.
You're half on my lap. Things are getting weird.
And there's Chipotle back there.
Yeah, he's going to break my neck just looking at you.
Yeah, we got some Chipotle right here.
I should have ordered. I didn't know that this was lunch. I thought we were going somewhere.
Oh, no, I got a deadlift. I got a deadlift. My brain's out.
I thought there was enough time between...
Maybe, but I'm going to start warming up.
I got to get back to the fucking... You know, you just try to get some pussy, and then you get roped into all this fucking family bullshit.
Wait, what?
God
damn. You got some family stuff tonight?
Yeah. Well, you ever just sit there and think, like, I am so fucked?
Yeah. Well, you have
to. Or unfucked. I'm unfucked. Yeah, you're just thinking, I am so unfucked.
Yeah, I'm not married. I'm never going
to
get married.
I love the goddamn kids and shit, but fuck.
But Andy, she's really...
starts to get the whole family involved.
It's the whole marriage thing that's a real drag on the lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get the whole family, and it's great seeing everybody, but motherfucker.
But your family, it's a little different. I mean, I don't know, but they live here. So you see them anyways. Yeah. It's a little different if they're on the other side of the country and you only see them for Thanksgiving. Maybe that's a little more exciting.
That's true. And, you know, it's... some of my family is here, but it's not my family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is my family.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
So.
But all your real family's still kind of in Poughkeepsie's?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know...
Snooki, cousin Snooki.
You guys know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I don't. I think you guys could vicariously live through me.
Well, look, you're in the beginning stages of a relationship, and you get fucking roped in all kinds of shit.
I do, but I'm not...
You're like,
I'm never getting married.
Shit on the fucking side, you know?
No, I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, I just want some easy access to some fucking pussy. Now I got to meet your mom some and your fucking sister and your brother and fucking hang out with everybody. I don't want to talk to your fucking uncle.
Well, as loud
about
and like
how he needs to lose fucking burn fat and shit.
Yeah, yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Hey, man.
Yeah, green tea extract.
Jesus Christ,
you're
just trying to get some of that
Chipotle.
Sideways pussy.
Yeah. Well, they
cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish.
Sexual Chipotle.
I have two things to say, and they're both blown up my face.
We wonder why we don't have any sponsors on this show. You guys are disgusting.
There's a whole rocket of our...
Caveman... Bones
this
Jones.
This got me going crazy. It's got me lit up today.
BSN, which is upsetting me.
Sit still.
BSN's pissing me off. All I need is some grape aminos, and they're sold out for like 3 months.
Well, because they taste good.
They're so good.
They are pretty good.
Back to the family thing.
Oh, grape amino X?
Yeah, amino X.
During the holidays.
Yeah, yeah. So this family thing,
Bring everybody together.
Well, all of us are like pretty loud in general in our personality, but that's when we're like totally in our comfort zone, like on this podcast or like sort of, in the gym, but like in a random bar or like a random party or like family. Like Jim's a little more reserved in general than you and I. We're kind of dickheads, but we totally, I totally shut down and stuff like that. Like, I, you know, Christmas with my family, I just sit on the couch and just like watch everybody, maybe like have a fucking whiskey and try to become social.
Drink.
Yeah, that's like the only thing.
Liquor was made for family gatherings.
Yeah, like I hate drinking and I hate being social. And I love my family, you know, and I know them decently, but it's just all awkward.
If you drink, it changes the game. It's a game changer.
Yeah, it is.
You're like, I love you so much. You're wonderful. Your daughter's the best.
There's a difference between loving your family.
Saying it just
Mark's
like
just
that.
Just get hammered at family.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference between loving your family members and, you know, liking them.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
To spend time with
them. Yeah, I think that's the truth. Is I like no one.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one on the planet.
We're not even comfortable with ourselves still.
No, you know? Look how close you're sitting next to me.
We fucking hate each other. Not each other.
And then the other thing, when you were talking about Rep It Rich saying everyone needs something with supplements, that's so true. And I think it's true for supplements because there's like a mystery, right? You take this little pill. It's got white powder in it. You have no idea what's in there. Rather than like even with sneakers or shorts, you know, like Jordan's new shoes, like you're going to jump six inches higher. You want to buy those because you're like, maybe they will. Like, I'm all right. They won't. But maybe they will. Supplements, you have no clue.
Maybe they'll work for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they don't work for everybody else. Maybe they'll work for me.
Give a shout out to Bo Jackson. Real quick, we got to talk about him for 5 seconds. That's all.
That's a bad motherfucker.
That's all for today, Bo. We'll be having you on the podcast at some point. We just keep talking about him. Hopefully, it'll happen.
Yeah, him and Ali.
If you build it, it'll come.
Shout out to anybody who knows Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jack.
Yeah, let's network.
Anybody from fucking Auburn in this bitch? No, no,
no,
no. I'm not.
Oh. I don't know.
All right, let's call our guest. This is just bullshit.
Well, he's not online yet, so
we're waiting for him.
Yeah, we're
Stepani.
So just keep talking. Like,
I was just calling like
Stepani.
We should ask him. Doc Stepani.
Let me check my shit. See if he's like.
You need to check your shit before I wreck your shit. Your brother's just hiking around the gym doing nothing.
Right, I think they left.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I don't think they have a car. They're screwed. Oh, they went for a walk. I was going to slingshots at Mark's house the other day. And I'm driving up through a pretty main road in Davis, California, and I just see somebody waddling down the street.
And it's Borg.
Borg doing his cardio, getting his work in.
Yeah, doing that work.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Hitting the goddamn streets.
Yeah, I was going to pick him up. I was like, where's
taking
he going?
To
I was
the
like,
streets.
Yeah.
Hitting the pavement, trying to get his
Hit
wall
the bricks.
Down.
Trying to get jacked. Trying to get tan. He was just on Access TV, MMA, Inside MMA, with Bas Rutten.
Bas Rutten.
It was pretty cool. I checked it out a little bit. I recorded it. He was on there with Chris Lieben promoting Prescription Thugs. Mm. Chris Lieben, I believe, is in the film.
I believe that's correct.
To some extent, I haven't seen anything on it besides a tiny little trailer. But it was cool. They were just talking about drugs and drugs.
And drugs.
Drugs.
Prescription
fun.
Drugs.
Yeah. But hopefully that sucker's...
Painkillers, I think, was a lot of it.
It's mostly painkillers, I believe. Chris Lieben talked a little bit about just being 100% on them all the time and something about missing a fight because he was just so out of it. He was just high off his fucking rocker.
Well, you know, we really do make people addicted to shit for one reason or another. talking about my boy Will, who was home for a week, and he has another surgery coming up that actually just got pushed back again, but they have him on a bunch of pain medication and they don't want to bring it down until after that surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's just such a long period.
Didn't travel with enough. So he was basically sick the whole time.
Just having withdrawals. Yeah.
It's like, what? This is something that doctors are doing on purpose.
Yeah, it's
doing
crazy.
It on purpose.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't look for alternate routes.
I don't know. They stop you cold turkey.
Well, what keeps happening, too, is that these drug companies are trying to produce things that are harder to abuse through, you know, snorting it or injecting it. But they're producing these long-acting pills.
Like time-released or something?
Yeah, time-released. But it doesn't keep you from taking too many of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's everything, right?
Right.
People go nuts off.
Yeah, yeah.
Overdosing.
We need a different approach than opiates.
Yeah. Maybe good fats. We need to talk about good fats today.
Go for it.
No, not right now. With Doc Peckdeck.
with
Dr.
Doctor
Peckdeck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Yeah, he's jacked.
Communicate.
I was trying to get some info on him. I think they said he's about 240. If you guys don't know, look him up. We'll probably have some pictures on the
video. Is he in like muscle and fitness version and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
he's been with bodybuilding.com for a few years now.
I believe he's a doctorate in exercise science, and then he did a bunch of research at like Yale.
Damn.
A bunch of shit. So we'll have to talk about that. And that had something to do with diet, nutrition, supplementing, and working out affecting
exercise
your genes.
Exercise science is his main...
I think that's his background, yeah.
Yeah, his main thing.
And then he moved in a... I think, you know, in some ways he's kind of like us, is he just put out a shit ton of content, just always writing, always videoing. He did, Muscle and Fitness he was hooked up with. I read somewhere that like every little workout example, you know, for the last 10 years you get out of Muscle and Fitness somewhere may have came
he
from
wrote
him.
It.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, regardless. Everybody's grabbed a magazine and done a workout out of it. Mark said he used to do that shit all the time.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that's all that anybody used to do.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah, why not?
When did people start writing programs?
Yeah, or
programs,
e-books. Last 10 years, maybe, or less? Last 7? When did 531 came out? Probably about 10 years ago, yeah?
I don't think that wasn't that long ago, for sure.
I did it like 5 years ago, and I wasn't
say,
so cutting edge.
About,
oh, maybe I was.
Came out. Yeah.
Maybe I was more cutting edge than so. I thought.
God. You're on the edge.
I am.
On the edge of your seat.
That's a great program. You just do that forever.
531?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it works.
That works. Look how jacked I am.
Might as well do what works.
Oh, you know, I wish I had it. Oh, damn it. I printed it out and didn't bring it with me. I had a letter from the wife of a very avid fan of ours who was thanking us for changing her husband's whole life.
I read something like that. Maybe it was a different one.
It was. This is like the last 2 days.
Oh, maybe not.
She's trying to buy something for him.
I love that shit.
Yeah. I'm trying to buy something, have it signed for him. It was like he's like follows what we're talking about.
All this bullshit that we say.
And we're not really, we don't talk about specific programming most of the time.
Yeah. Just a mentality of going about it.
Yeah.
That'll get you everywhere.
We had our live studio audience here the other day. That was cool.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
That guy came in and got an autographed hat from all of us.
Yeah, drove about 2 hours, I think.
Yeah. He stayed for the podcast. He just hung out. I showed him the gym. He was all excited. He got goosebumps when I showed him the gym. He was like, this is fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, his wifey all tweeted us later. It was cool.
Yeah. This doesn't mean that people should show up at the studio.
Yeah, you're uninvited. He prearranged
if
that.
You can.
Yes, he prearranged. There are probably certain circumstances in which, you know, as a prize or something, we could bring somebody in, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, for $100.
For $100.
$100 and a Chipotle burrito.
$100 is good, but I'd do it for 10.
Yeah, you're pretty cheap.
I'd cut him a fucking deal.
10% off?
We're just waiting for Mr. Stepani to hop in here, but perhaps we should take a little bit of break until we figure out what the fuck's going on.
I just need to rant for a moment.
Yeah, go off. People love Jim's rants. I read one of the comments on YouTube or something. They're going, I was like, yeah, Jim, get angry.
About, you know what, we've talked about the fact that the toilets here at the gym are not set up yet.
Subpar.
They're not set up for what we're trying to do here, which is poop massively. And one of the guys put on Facebook, we have a secret Facebook group that you're not invited to, asking...
Yeah, we need to kick more of those guys out,
if it was
especially
okay to,
this guy.
If it was okay to poop at the gym yet, and I said no, but really, what I really should have said was that the artificial plant that has been brought into the, quote, women's restroom here at the gym...
Can be shit in all day.
Yeah, it can be shit in all day. You can take a shit in that thing. I thought that somebody's grandma died, and it...
It's weird. It looks like a lollipop or something.
It does.
Strange.
It's a little topiary plastic.
I mean, especially for
rose
being fake,
bush.
You know, you figure it would look... Like, if it was real, then you'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Someone at least trimmed it into something... But it's
some
fake
trim.
And it looks...
Yeah, we like some trim.
It's fake and it looks weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, a shaved bush in the women's bathroom is what you want.
There is. That's what it is.
It's a trimmed one.
So anyway, I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
All right. So if we want to... Now that I've... Oh, he's online.
Yep. He's here. He's here.
Oh, hello.
Jim Stepani, ladies and gentlemen. He just walked inside the building.
Just walked inside the computer.
Yep. He looks great.
All right.
Wow.
Should we still take a break to get him online?
I don't think so. I think we should fucking pull the studio audience into it. The live studio audience.
All right.
That's
well,
here
if you will touch
millions
his,
listening at
if
home,
if you will touch his picture there, just with your finger,
touch his pecs.
Is that a touch screen?
Yep.
I need a computer.
Oh my god.
My computer's from the 80s.
And then hit the call button.
Yeah, hit the video one and see if that works.
Plink. Ooh. What if he gets to see me? Hey, now.
He should get to see you.
Fucking
move over.
Fucking turn this shit on. Why is he naked? Oh, yeah. How come you're not naked? What's going on there, Jim?
I forgot. No, this is just a big tattoo.
Oh, I thought you were going to be naked like the photo that we have of you that we put up earlier today.
Nice.
So what's going on? Where are you living at? It looks pretty nice. Are you in Cali too?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, fuck. Cool. You're not too far from us. You're going to have to come up here to Sacramento sometime.
Yeah, I get up there every once in a while.
Check out the gym. What's that, an East Coast accent?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking, man, you're an idiot just like me.
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
Connecticut.
Oh, okay, cool. So we got a bunch of fucking questions to get to with you today because we're not used to having people that are smart on here. We're used to having powerlifters, and powerlifters don't know what's going on. So we figured since you're a doctor that we would get into it a little bit. So we got a couple basically just, you know, just typical supplement questions that you kind of get all the time. But question number one, and this is from a fan of yours. He says, with you being a doctor, how come you put out so much bullshit on the internet and through the magazine's publication? So you might as well clarify that first, because that seems like a really important question to get to.
That is a good question. depends on what they call bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny because, you know, some people claim that I do a lot of, they call bro science.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
I'm one of the more, educated experts, you know, in the field.
Right.
You know, I mean, I have a real PhD, from, you know, in the universities, exercise physiology. I did a real postdoc at Yale School of Medicine, and I was an award-winning scientist there. I'm not trying to blow, it makes me laugh when all these people go, he's talking a lot of bro science. And I'm like, you know, it's hard to find anyone who has the academic background that I have. But what they don't realize is that a lot of what happens in the gym is more important than what happens in a lab.
Right. Yeah, that's just very true. You know, along with a PhD, you have a black belt in bro science.
Exactly. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, before any of these questions that I wanted to study came up, they came up in the gym, you know, and most of them just confirm what we've always been doing. And a lot of times you don't even need to confirm it if it's working because we know it's working. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's all you're doing. All the studies are for, right? All the studies are always to kind of, to give you concrete evidence is really what you're looking for on something that you probably already kind of knew. In a lot of ways.
But a lot of times the research isn't that concrete because research is very limited on what you can do. You know, you can only, you know, you look at all these studies and say, oh, you know, they found that creatine really didn't work in this group. And then you look at the training that they actually had, and the researchers had no idea how to, you know, put together a real training protocol. And so they took trained lifters and basically detrained them on, you know, this half-ass workout program. So, you know, there's a lot of variables that people don't realize when it comes to science. I like to look at the science, but then I want to take it to the gym and I want to see it work in the gym over and over and over and over again before we say, well, this works, that doesn't work.
What do you think of something like post-workout nutrition? Obviously, you know, a lot of us would agree you can go home and eat. But sometimes that's not the quickest thing to do or the most convenient thing to do. It may take 2 hours by the time you get home, by the time you cook and so on. Or I guess another option would be to just bring food to the gym. But what do you feel about supplementation post-workout with something like branched chain amino acids, maybe like a hydrolyzed whey protein? Do you feel like that's effective? Do you feel like that's something that's really going to post some gains?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I'm a firm believer in post-workout. Pre-workout as well, pre-workout nutrition and post-workout nutrition. You know, there's a lot of debate over the post-workout window, whether it really exists. But, you know, this is one of those things that's really hard to study because you have to have the right athletes. You have to have the right training programs. And, you know, you have to be able to compare it to something. But what I've seen, you know, over many, you know, many, way too many years than I'd like to admit, working with, you know, thousands and thousands of athletes, that it's critical. It's absolutely critical to get that protein and carbs post-workout. You know, it's the quicker the better. And sometimes it's more a convenience factor of, you know, getting a protein shake with some easy carbs. You know, protein shake is the easiest way, but it's also one of the best ways because there's nothing more anabolic than dairy protein. We know that. And, you know, what the research is now showing is that, you know, we used to think that whey was the absolute ideal protein source post-workout because it's fast. And, yeah, whey is very critical because it is so fast. But whey's speed also limits its ability to maintain that protein synthesis. So what the research is now showing and what I've been seeing in the gym is that when you take a blend of digesting casein protein, it elevates your protein synthesis or keeps you in that anabolic state for longer.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. So basically you're just trying to have people recover as quickly as possible from the workout, and it's affordable enough for most. It's convenient enough, so why not fucking do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, that's the thing is, you know, people will debate whether you need this supplement or that supplement around workouts or not, or whether you can take them at other times of day. But, you know, when are you most about your supplementation? It typically tends to be around workouts, not when you're sitting at work or, you know, you're going to school or something, bringing them all, you know, along. You typically, you know, when you're going to train, pretty much it's fairly consistent every day. So if you focus on getting your those supplements at those time points, it's, you know, it's effective and it's convenient.
Something I always liked about supplementation is the fact that it just keeps you regimented. You know, hopefully if you're falling in line with your pre and post workout, hopefully you're just kind of embracing the entire thing, and hopefully you're getting hydrated enough. Hopefully you're getting enough sleep. Hopefully you're kind of just in tune with your nutrition and your plan for lifting and so on, you know. So hopefully when you do take those supplements, hopefully it's kind of driving you and motivating you to stick to some sort of plan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you can't have a shitty diet and take supplements to make up for it. So the person who is a little more concerned about their supplementation is also going to first be more concerned about their diet to begin with. And like you said, right, kind of keep you more regimented.
If you get some of these other guys in here on a question. Mike, you got some?
Hey, Doc. This is Salah, Mike. Correct me if you're wrong or if I'm wrong, but your doctorate was in exercise science. And then you did some post-doctoral work at Yale. How did you kind of become the supplement guy?
How did I become the supplement guy?
Yeah, on the internet, you know, a lot of kind of go to you for all supplement questions.
Well, I did my master's focusing on sports nutrition. I actually studied medium-chain triglycerides back, when was that? Early 90s.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and then when I was at University of Connecticut, I was in charge of doing all the diets for the subjects. So, I have a fair nutrition background. I had a minor in nutrition and I was, as well. So, study a lot of nutrition. And at Yale, we did a lot of work on, nutrition, as well as exercise and how it affects and regulates genes and muscle tissue.
Yeah. Perfect balance.
Interesting. You said, you brought up the MCT oil. That's something that I've been taking for many years. I don't know if you remember, but like, I think it was, maybe Twin Lab made it. 900 years ago, I think that maybe the name it was like CapTri, or maybe that was the company that was making it at the time. It was years and years and years ago, and I've been on a keto style diet for.
Remember John Perillo?
Yeah. So I don't even know if that dude's still around. I think that guy did a little bit of powerlifting and bodybuilding, right? He did a little bit of both, right?
Really promoted the MCTs way back in.
Yeah.
Geez, that was the 80s,
right?
Or early 90s. And what's funny is that coconut oil is now, which, you know, the reason coconut oil is so popular is, you know, it's a rich source of medium-chain triglycerides.
Yeah, it's interesting how that whole thing has kind of just exploded. What do you think of the effectiveness of of medium chain triglyceride? Do you think it's kind of serving the purpose that people think it's serving? What are your thoughts on it?
Like I said, I've studied them, and I personally do not use them. Is using coconut oil a bad idea? No. I mean, they definitely have benefits. Whether or not it's a benefit is still a question.
You're probably not using them, though, because do you follow a lower-fat diet or do you follow a moderate-fat diet? What kind of diet do you follow?
No, I'm fairly. I eat about half my body weight in grams of fat.
So, right. You get that through food or you supplement through oil?
Mainly food.
Yeah. I mean, that's
easy.
Yeah, it's a more fun way of getting in the amount of fat. You know, and if you do like a keto style diet, then you might have to supplement with some oils. Mike's got a question about the pump. He's big on getting the pump.
Yeah, what's going on with the pump? We see so many people and thousands of supplements out there, articles, this and that, chasing the pump. When, you know, in my opinion, or what I found is just training hard kind of gets it done. You know, we're powerlifters, so we train pretty low reps. We don't really always get a pump, and I still feel results from that. But everyone's chasing a pump in the gym and supplementation-wise. What are your thoughts on kind of that achievement? Is it necessary?
Well, you know, before I sort of answer that, you know, let me just remind everyone that, you know, we know very little about muscle physiology. You know, everybody claims, you know, muscle grows by, you know, damaging and then, you know, recovery. Yeah, that's one of the ways. And, you know, and then there's this greater than protein breakdown. That's another way. But we know so little, you know, we really don't know shit about muscle growth at this stage in the game. You know,
people thanks, Doc. Claim, oh, you know,
no, you know, we really don't. There's so many, you know, there's so many factors involved, you know, and when you change one thing, you know, you think, oh, it's myostatin. Let's focus on decreasing myostatin. Then even when they do that, you still get the results that they expected. And then it's like, well, what the hell else is going on? Because something is in there, you know, it always wants to limit the, you know, the growth of the muscle because it's just not efficient. So, you know, there's things like microRNAs that actually, even though protein synthesis went up, are now breaking down all that protein that just got built up. So so before I answer, is the pump important? You know, do you always want to train for a muscle pump? No. You know, mechanical overload is obviously, you know, for muscle growth, I'm a firm believer in reaching muscle failure. In a muscle pump, because there is some evidence that when the muscle is a higher volume, it places a stretch on the muscle cell membrane, and there's receptors there that are supposed to then enhance muscle protein synthesis. But like I said, these are all a lot of theories. You know, and some people report seeing great results, they chase the pump. I certainly don't train to chase the pump. Most of my programs are designed to sort of hit the middle ground for everyone, meaning you get stronger, you gain muscle, endurance. They sort of, you know, give, you know, everybody the best of sort of all worlds there. You know, I'm not a power lifter. I don't work primarily with power lifters. I don't work with the average guys who just want to see results.
Guys that just want to get jacked.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to get stronger and bigger, you know?
You mentioned mechanical overload. Speaking of that, have you ever tried a slingshot?
I have. You sent me one.
Son of a bitch. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of it?
Piece of shit. John Hardesty is the one who turned me on to it as well, because he was raving about it. So
yeah, we just visited him. We just came from bodybuilding.com, and they said they tried to get you to move to Idaho, and you said, fuck off.
not leaving LA.
Yeah, you said, no, it's not happening. I'm not doing that. But they did mention, that your products sell very well through the website, and it's because of the content that you provide.
And what I find really awesome is that you provided the content for years and years. I believe your supplement company has probably started just within the last several years. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not even a year and a half.
Yeah, so I mean, before that, you were doing all this work beforehand, pumping out tons and tons of content, which is really great because, you know, you hear so many people want to kind of attack the people that are on the front lines giving out the content or, you know, putting out the content in various forms, articles, videos, and so on. But then when it comes to, like, get somebody to speak or write an article, it's kind of like pulling teeth. You're not going to really get them to spit out the information. So I think that's really great that you were kind of on the front lines there pumping out that information. And it's cool that you got rewarded for it by people investing in your supplements. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly appreciate that. You know, and because if you look back at those articles, you can see the formulas in my products that now are produced, you know, years ago.
Evil genius plan you had going for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking awesome. Awesome marketing.
10-year overnight success.
Yeah.
If you told me even 3 years ago that I have a supplement company, by 2013, I would have laughed because that was really never my intent.
Yeah.
But you know, I was mixing all my own stuff for myself and for clients, you know, and you know, it tastes like shit when you have a variety of products.
You got to a point where it made sense for you.
Yeah. I started making little mini batches for myself and for clients, and more people wanted them. And, you know,
sprinkle in a little Anavar in there. Get the clients to be as successful as possible, right?
That's the good old days.
It's awesome.
We drink a lot of caffeine around here, mostly just because we're stimulant junkies. A
couple grams of the day.
Just coffee, White Monsters, energy drinks, NO Explode, anything we can get our hands on. I've read a couple of your articles, and you're a pretty big fan of caffeine, yeah? What's your reasoning, and why do you put it in most of your programs or diets?
Well, you know, there is some data looking at, you know, performance with caffeine that's very positive. And it's, you know, people want to condemn it, but when you look at the research, there's actually a lot of health benefits from both caffeine and coffee as well. There are many antioxidants and other ingredients in coffee, if you will, that have numerous benefits. They actually can reduce the risk of diabetes, as new research is showing, reduce the risk of certain cancers. And even caffeine has been found to have those same similar benefits. And people who get older have less cognitive decline than our coffee drinkers or caffeine users. So I'm a believer in
We're fucking high as a kite right now.
We have a caffeine sponsor. That's how serious it is.
Yeah,
nice. Oh, of course.
Things are getting wild over here. You got a question?
Yeah, I do. Actually, this is a question that came into my Twitter. Jim, this is Jim McDonald. We just saw a great view of some of the tattoos on your arm there, and you have some great work. And this question was: in the academic world, was that an issue for you at all? Did anyone I don't know where in your life you got the tattoos? But this question was, like, did you experience any prejudice from the academic world about tattoos?
I used to be all covered up.
Uh-huh.
I've had my tattoos for, almost 20 years now, going on almost 20 years. And, you know, they're sort of martial art inspired. I was a martial arts instructor, so I spent a lot of time in dojos, and I'd see some of these Japanese guys that come over with the full body suits. When I was a kid, I was just fascinated with that, you know. So, you know, when I was old enough to go out and get it done, I went pretty nuts with it. So, you know, when I was in academia, which covered up, and even when I was started at Weider Publications, most people that knew me knew, you know, we would wear a button-up shirt, you know, like typical, like kind of office wear. And then you know, eventually I think people just started seeing the tattoos. And then when we started a video series on MuscleFitness.com website, you know, people saw the tattoos and just kind of loved the, you know, the sort of dichotomy of it there, that, you know,
right,
this, you know, guy from Yale School of Medicine, absolutely covered in ink. It's sort of, I don't know, you know, it brings you sort of down to, you know, he's not some sucky PhD guy.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
He's, you know, pretty much like one of us. And so that, you know, sort of became my, you know, my thing. So, so now, you know, I still talk at, you know, I'll be invited to, you know, talk at like obstetrician and those sorts of events. And I typically just wear, you know, like, you know, a t-shirt or a nice, sure, I don't really cover up tattoos any longer because I'm just known for those, for the tattoos. But I could see how that could be, you know, you could get some prejudice. Although, you know, the nice thing about academia is nobody really gives a shit what you look like.
Yeah.
You know, they really value you for, you know, your brain and what you bring to the table and how much funding you have.
I think that was the answer this person was looking for. I think they were looking for, you know, like permission, license to, get as much ink as possible in the academic world.
Well, don't tell your mom that I told you to do that.
Yeah.
You know, my mom always hated them. And then it was just a few years ago, she lives on the East Coast. She came out and visited me. She goes, okay, I have to admit, they work for you.
Do you feel there's a difference between nutrition for performance versus nutrition for aesthetics?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
So, like, nutrition for aesthetics, you could go a little deeper. You can maybe calorie restrict a little bit more. You can maybe pull carbohydrates out a little bit more. But whereas for performance, you can't afford to do that kind of thing, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, you could, you know, you could play around with macros. I think we're realizing that, you know, maybe carbs aren't that critical depending on the athlete. Okay, you know, it used to be that every athlete was just here, just pound the carbs.
Right.
You know, pound the carbs and then get some protein, regardless of what kind of athlete it was. And now, you know, people realize, well, maybe they should be focusing more on more protein and fats. You know, obviously, you know, an ultra endurance runner, obviously, it's carbs are important. But now even the endurance runners are realizing how critical protein is for endurance.
Right. Where do you feel the answer lies in nutrition? You know, people are just seem to be so confused about it all the time. You know, if you were just to, you know, obviously it's always dependent upon the individual. I mean, what are some things that you've kind of seen recently, some recent current trends that you think or believe to be true?
Trends that I believe to be true. Well, like you said, I think the individual needs to find what works for them, not just as far as results go, but also what's realistic for them. You know, we all sort of grow up with, you know, sort of eating patterns that we've established from our parents and, you know, just the routine. So, you know, taking someone and saying, okay, you're just going to eat chicken and broccoli all the time. Well, you know, that's, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in balance and making sure that, you know, you're not really just restricting everything all the time and that, you know, you can eat those foods that you do crave as long as, you know, you have a diet that's working within those foods. You're not obviously eating pizza and donuts all the time, but there's certainly room to fit them in. Maybe not when you're 3 weeks out from a major, you know, bodybuilding or physique type of a contest, but for the most part, you know, really more about balance and finding out, you know, do low carbs work for somebody? Do you want to eat your carbs in the morning or the opposite? Do you want to avoid carbs in the morning, eat your carbs at night? Do you want to do intermittent fasting? You know, these, you know, they work for people, you know, they work for different people. And I think, you know, the best thing to do is to with it and find what works for you as far as results and what you can actually deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. What are some things that you suggest to people when you start working with them? You know, let's just say it's somebody who wants to, you know, lose body fat. Do you utilize many different styles of diet and try to figure out what's going to kind of stick with them?
Yeah, I try to find out what, you know, what their diet looks like currently. And then, you know, I take it from a sort of calorie perspective. We get a snapshot of what their calories are right now, because that's sort of balances. Doesn't really matter what they're currently eating for protein or carbs. So I try to get them right where they are with their calories. And then I start playing around with their macros, getting their protein up so they're eating ample amounts of protein, getting enough fats, you know, especially for a male, you know, fat, you know, the research does show that men who eat, you know, a higher amount of fat and get saturated fat, as well as monounsaturated, higher in it, tend to maintain higher testosterone levels. So I try to focus on getting up to get their protein up and their fats. You know, most people that come to you on a diet who have no clue how to diet, they're gorging themselves on carbohydrates. You know what I mean? Not eating too much fat or eating not enough fat, and typically not eating enough protein for, you know, real performance if they're going to follow my training.
Yeah, a lot of times that's where I usually start with people. You know, I don't do a lot of programming or any of that stuff with too many people, but if the conversation does pop up, I usually just kind of get a feel for where they're at. And if it's somebody, like as you mentioned, if they're gorging themselves, then the conversation is quick. And it's like they'll say, oh, you know, I have six Cokes a day, and I have pizza at lunch. I'll say, ditch the Coke, ditch the pizza, don't eat anything fried, see you later, you know?
Yeah,
because that alone will help them drop a little bit. Obviously, that's not a lifesaver, but it was something that can get them, like, headed in the right direction. Exercise a little bit more, you fat fuck. And cut out your fucking sugary shit that you're drinking, you know?
Yeah, and then they'll start seeing results, and then they'll be inspired to continue. And then you start working with them, you know, getting a little more detailed in the diet.
Which makes it a mental game at least as much.
Without a doubt. Yeah, exactly. That's a huge... The psychology of it is...
I'm a big proponent of, like, flexible dieting and tracking my food myself. You're pretty jacked, man. What's, like, your diet look like?
I'm very flexible with my diet, depending on, you know, if I have photo shoots or things like that I'm doing. I might, you know, tighten it a bit, but I'm very, very flexible with my diet. I've been doing this a long time. So
have you been fairly lean most of your life? Have you been fairly lean?
I mean, I was a skinny kid.
Right.
And, you know, it's
so probably allows you a little bit more play than some, right?
Exactly. It's pretty easy for me to stay lean. I could stay 5% body fat year round if I wanted to. I never really go up beyond 6-7% at the most.
Yeah.
Eating, you know, if I want to, a burger with fries, I'll have a burger with fries. No big deal.
Yeah, you got Photoshop, and you can take a couple of water pills too, right? Hopefully somebody's helping you out with some good lighting, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, trim some of that shit off for me, right? I didn't feel like dieting today, right?
I've seen a huge trend in, you know, kind of YouTube or internet fitness, Instagram, all these social medias of a lot of physique athletes training, at least mainly, like a power lifter. I think a lot of that has to do with the mental gratitude of kind of getting success right away, seeing success right away. It takes a long time to grow an inch on your arm, but to get a PR in the deadlift might only take 2 or 3 weeks. What do you think the effectiveness is for power movements for a physique athlete?
I think they're, you know, critical. The stronger you are doesn't necessarily mean the bigger you are, but the stronger you are, the more overload you can place on the muscle, which, you know, is going to lead to muscle growth gains down the road. So I think it's incorporating, you know, most of my programs, I incorporate, like I said, I incorporate all, you know, all the bench press is typically on most of my programs. Just start with the bench press because that's, you know, you're going to do that when you get the strongest. And, you know, I'll do a lot of periodization with that, but then there's also, you know, bodybuilding, some pre-exhaust thrown in there and other variables.
You're trying to do some barbell movements that allow you to handle some real weight.
Exactly.
You know, like a deadlift is going to allow you to handle a lot more weight than some of the other exercises.
Right. And people, you know, enjoy knowing that, you know, their bench has gone up by 50
pounds. Yeah, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, definitely. you know, at least the bench press, everyone can sort of, you know, that's the one question everyone gets when they realize that you lift weights.
How much do you bench?
All day, every day. That's what you get. Yeah,
both my programs involved, you know, involve bench press, squat, and deads.
You hear so much about creatine. You know, everyone's just like, oh, you know, creatine works. But, you know, yet when you take it, you know, being a person who has followed the protocol of bigger, stronger, faster, I'm sure you saw the movie. When I take something like creatine, I don't really feel much from it. And that goes for when I was all natty, too. But, you know, what are your thoughts on creatine and some of these supplements that people kind of just say, oh, yeah, we know they work, but you're still not really feeling a whole lot?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer in creatine. Obviously, there are, you know, responders and non-responders. It's right. Basically, it's sort of based on your own body's production of creatine and how much your muscles.
Right.
For most people, you're going to get some kind of benefit, whether you're a natural athlete or even if you're, you know, using performance enhancing drugs, because it helps produce energy within the muscles. One of the ways that it works. So it's certainly helpful. Like I said, regardless, if you're feeling it or really seeing the results, it's right. Like I said, it's an important energy provider. So
what would you say if you had to just pick three supplements, what would the three be that you think are just should be a staple for just about everybody?
I'd say definitely creatine, beta-alanine looks good these days, and branched-chain amino acids.
And what about supplementation of protein powders or anything like that? Just that would just be a personal preference depending on how the person eats and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a firm believer in getting a protein blend of, you know, whey, a fast-digesting whey and a slow-digesting casein.
Right.
That's what milk.
Right. Yeah.
Milk has whey and casein in it. So is it absolutely critical? That's why I didn't even list protein powder in those three.
Right.
You know, protein powder sort of is lower on the list because you could technically eat those foods. I mean, yeah, you're getting a protein powder. It's got, you know, most of the fat and the carbs removed. For somebody who is an aesthetic athlete, that might be important. Someone else, you know, a 15-year-old kid who's 140 pounds and can literally eat anything.
Right.
Drink a few cups of milk.
Right.
Cottage cheese works. Greek yogurt, you know, provides you those dairy proteins. So, obviously, you know, if you're to get enough, a lot of times you do need to drink it. And like I said, it removes some of the fat and the carbs. So, you know, you're focusing more on the protein, but, you know, you could do without it for sure.
I just find it interesting how, you know, we just kind of associate certain words with like health. You think of like an antioxidant. We all just think, okay, well, yeah, antioxidants, that sounds good. But, you know, then you'll hear, oh, well, they help with free radical damage. And all these different terms get thrown around. And basically, you know, a lot of us, not just myself, but a lot of us just don't know what the fuck any of that really means. You know, so when you boil some of that stuff down, you know, just how important is some of that stuff? Or is it just like, you know, get a balanced diet going and just don't really give two fucks about it?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting is now there's a lot of interesting research on antioxidants showing that possibly they might interfere with performance.
Yeah.
And so, but the question is it a, you know, these are, you know, sort of a very few studies and we really don't know much about it, but it's sort of making everybody think differently about antioxidants
right.
and whether you're mega dosing on them or not. You know, like I said, we really don't know whether
they're harmful. I guess people just get attached to like vehicles to sell, you know, certain products, you know, to sell a blueberry. You know, my in-laws have a blueberry farm. You know, to sell blueberries, it'll say, you know, certain words at the bottom. You know, it's got fiber, and it'll say, you know, antioxidants. And I just find that really fascinating that we automatically it's just automatically in our fucking head that that's, like, great, you know, for one particular reason or another, you know.
Gluten-free. Oh, this is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's been a tough thing to erase out of people's heads is that gluten-free doesn't mean that there's no calories in it. And, You know, the paleo diet really didn't have the intention of you eating paleo cookies all day or a fucking paleo donut. You know, those are great options for somebody who's sick, somebody who has an issue with gluten, somebody who has a bad reaction from gluten. So, yeah, some of that stuff gets to be pretty wild.
It's not a prescription for it. You're not. This is not a drug you're taking.
Gluten-free ice cream. Yay.
What's your take on artificial sweeteners?
Yeah, you know, I get that question a lot. If you look at the data, I mean, I have not seen any solid data at this stage. Obviously, but I'm not a person who worries about, you know, whether I have a Coke Zero. I'm not drinking 20 Coke Zeros a day.
Right.
But I'm not really concerned about, you know, aspartame. I'm not really concerned about sucralose at this stage in the game. Like I said, there's really little research showing, at least solid research showing, there's anything harmful when it's taken in, you know, typical daily amounts, you know, a day. You know, the thing people, you know, people get hung up on those words too, on the opposite, like, oh, that's a bad word, that's bad, you know, this is bad. You can't ever have this in your diet ever, like, you know, gluten, right? You can't ever. You know, people don't realize how many chemicals ingesting in any single day.
Yeah, right. Especially me.
Your body, you know, is designed to handle those chemicals that you take and get rid of them. When you're getting a mega dose, then it becomes a problem. You know, like we talked about caffeine. Caffeine is good when it's taken in you know, small to moderate doses, but a 10 gram single dose will kill it.
Yeah. Right.
One last question here to wrap up, Doc. I know you mentioned fat and that you eat about half a gram per body weight of fat, and you also mentioned saturated fat being important for testosterone production. But what's your take on all these, like, good fats, bad fats, eat more of this, less of that? Do you just kind of try to hit a fat goal for the day, or do you really focus on eating avocados or eating coconut oil? What's your overall recommendation?
You're kind of breaking up, so, but I think I got the main point there. I eat about half my body weight in grams of fat. So the question was, should I focus more on getting total fat or trying to get certain types of fat?
Is that exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I focus more on total fat and eating a variety of foods. You know, I'm a firm believer in eating red meats, olive oil for the monounsaturated, you know, nuts for monounsaturated fat, salmon for the omega-3 fatty acids. Again, the red meat for the saturated fats. Even, you know, dairy. I don't recommend eating, you know, fat-free dairy. At least getting like a low fat or reduced fat if you're concerned about getting too much fat for the day, but you're going to get good saturated fats there. So, you know, if you have a fairly well-rounded, you're going to sort of fall within those, you know, areas without kind of overthinking about it and just making your diet miserable.
Yeah, we see a lot of people, like, on, you know, particularly like Instagram, you know, they'll post up these meals and it seems like their diet is like they're following like multiple diets at one time. You know, it seems like they're almost following like a keto diet mixed in with a bunch of carbohydrates at the same time. You'll see a plate of maybe like Chipotle or something like that, and they'll have, you know, beans and rice and chicken, and then there's just like a shit ton of like avocado. You know, and that's why Mike and I bring stuff like that up, because it's like, yeah, that is a quote unquote good fat or a healthy fat, but it's still a lot of extra calories that you're adding in where you probably shouldn't.
A lot of folks on the bacon diet.
Yeah, the bacon train.
Yeah, I mean, that's great if you're not eating that bucket of rice.
Right, right, exactly, yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to get extra healthy fats, well, you got to minimize your calories somewhere else. you might as well make it from the carbs.
Yeah, exactly. Carbs are just easier to eat, too. We had Alberto Nunez on here a while back, and he just kind of pointed out, hey, eating 300 grams of carbs is a lot easier than eating 300 grams of protein. And I thought that was an excellent point. You know, it can be difficult sometimes to shovel in that amount of protein in it.
Yeah, without a doubt. But as long as, you're thinking about it from the whole diet standpoint, right, not just sort of focusing on these macros without realizing that, well, now you ate 6,000 calories.
Right.
And you trained for 30 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I know you mentioned that you have to go around 1 o'clock, and so we're pretty much out of time. But you have anything you want to talk about in terms of where people can reach you at, or any of your websites or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, people can reach me. Twitter is the best place to get a hold of me. I honestly try to answer everyone's question there on Twitter. It's just a nice way, because I can just do it right on my phone. Wherever I am. So if anyone wants to get me for more questions, hit me on Twitter and I'll definitely get back to you. And it's just Jim Stefani is my Twitter name.
There we go. Hey, it was great having you on, and I look forward to...
Guys, anytime you want to do it again, let me know.
Yeah, I look forward to having you on again, and it'd be awesome to get you up here to Sacramento at some point, and we will probably see you at the Fit Expo. Will you be at the Fit Expo in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We'll fucking see you there, buddy.
Awesome.
Right. See you then.
Take care.
All right, thanks. Well, thanks, Jim.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
His voice sounds like he fucking eats bear.
Yeah.
Sounds like he'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, he was great. He was, it's funny because you get these doctors on, or you get these people on that have really... get these people on who have really...
We're dying.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
Mark broke something.
I think I'm still here, though.
Yeah, you're on.
You get these experts on, and they just end up saying the same thing that a lot of the rest of us say, or say the same things that you would be thinking if you actually just thought about the whole process a lot,
They're a lot more practical and down to earth than you would expect.
Right.
And I think conversationally, maybe they're a little different than the way they write.
Right.
Because, you're trying to write in a sort of specific, emphatic way that people can just follow.
Yeah, you got to make it vague. You got to make it for the masses.
Yeah. Well, you're not, unfortunately, a lot of the time you're not writing for people who are going to think.
Yeah. 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 You have to give them a direction,
but you talk for people who think. I don't know.
Yeah, you're writing. When you write, it's got to be almost like in kind of a cone shape, to where you kind of start to narrow everything down to its finest point.
Right.
You can't continue to keep branching outward over and over again. Otherwise, you'll be writing for fucking hours on end.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a lot of revision in writing and trying to make things more and more and more and more clear. Whereas conversationally like this, you're going to say what you really think. And realize that a lot of people just have to put their own thought and their own effort, their own research into it to decide what works for them.
Yeah, the antioxidant thing was pretty interesting, and I've said it for years, and I think people think I'm kidding when I say it, but I honestly think that like some rich motherfuckers come across something.
Yeah.
It could be glutamine. They come across a ton of fucking glutamine. And they're like, let's fucking blow this glutamine out. Let's make tons of fucking glutamine. Find out what glutamine does.
Yeah, or what it maybe does.
Yeah, they find one fucking positive thing they can hold on to.
And they
ride that motherfucker as hard as they can. And I think that's what you've seen with some of these supplements. They pop up, boom, and then they just HMB, was a huge thing.
Yeah, it was enormous.
He mentioned, arginine, like how great is arginine
DHEA
versus any other type of amino acid. It's probably similar, or probably not that much different, And I know we asked him some questions that were kind of niche, They were, they're kind of just, the healthy fat versus the good fat. And I think it's just important to understand like that stuff is small potatoes. That's the stuff that doesn't matter a ton. What matters a ton is that you find something that you can stick to, and you try your best to stick to it. And even if you can only hone it in to about 80%, you should still be making some progress.
Well, and get in shape before you worry about the small things. If you're 100 pounds or 50, 30 pounds overweight, the good fat isn't going to give you the health benefits that you want. Being overweight is going to cause more disease and things. And he kind of said that, like, hit your fat goal. Why hit your fat goal? Because then you can maintain or lose weight on the plan you're on, rather than eating, you know, 100 grams of fat from avocado has no benefits if you can't handle 100 grams of fat.
Sometimes people are worried about the last 5 pounds when they need to worry about the first 50,
what did you say, Mark?
You know,
people spend 90% of the time worried about 5% of the shit that doesn't matter.
God, I mean,
you're way smarter than you look.
I know, it's a lot of math, isn't it?
Let's just sign off and maybe we'll fucking get boring.
Should we get out of here?
Boris to death.
Yeah, Boris.
Should we fucking eat some Boris?
Boris
Shaiko.
Should we eat some?
He made an app. Did you know that, Boris Shaiko?
Oh, he did.
He made an app. Bryce Lewis reviewed it on YouTube. I watched a little bit. It just seems too boring. Like Shaiko or whatever is a cool little like program, high volume, high frequency. But I don't want to look at my phone. Actually, I love looking at my phone. Who am I kidding? But I don't want to do a workout app.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
And it's like $15.
I don't know, man.
It's like an ebook.
I don't know. I don't know about all those percentages and shit, man. I think the truth is you got to figure out how to fucking work out for yourself.
For sure.
That's the goddamn ugly truth of it. But just back to what we were saying, you know, in terms of just, you know, making progress and just trying to follow any of these like supplement recommendations and just simple shit. Make sure you're working out, you know, make sure you're working out 4 days, you know, a week, you know, and make sure you're, doing some sort of cardiovascular. Yeah. If your goal is to drop body fat, you know, just this simple shit.
And if you stall, work out one more day or take away more food. It's literally that simple.
Right. If you're not making progress, work harder. You know, if you feel like you're overworked, then fucking take a break.
Yeah. Sleep, hydrate, repeat.
If you're not gym
tan laundry.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 K's.
Multiply your muscle, multiply your hustle.
You said it backwards. I think you said it backwards.
Did I?
Yeah, fucked you up, man. You don't even know your own sign off.
It doesn't matter. Either way, you're fucking multiplying something.
And you hate math and you're multiplying shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing over there, robot?
Multiply your hustle.
There we go.
Multiply your muscle and may all your shits be tapered.
He's at Mark Smelly Bell all over the place. I'm Jim McD, STTV, on Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter, at STJimSack. May have to change that. And Instagram, Mark Bell's PowerCast. We'll talk to you again.
Bye.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues. Take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's PowerCast is a production of supertraining.tv.